You are listening to The Hanged Man on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. I am your host, Hector. And there's supposed to be some music playing behind me, but for some reason there's not. So that's really fun. It's always nice. The consistency with which I'm able to have something go wrong at the beginning of my show. Honestly, I don't know if you agree, but it's pretty impressive, I think. So anyway, it's 1 a.m. It's Wednesday morning. It's time for me to do my thing here on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. I hope you'll stay with me for the next hour. As always, thank you for listening. And more importantly, thank you for not listening. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to tonight's edition of The Hanged Man, which is a radio show where the music I play is based upon a tarot reading conducted at an indeterminate point in the past prior to this show, so that I had time to think of stuff that doesn't necessarily, or that at least tangentially relates to the themes and cards of the reading. So let me tell you a little bit about what we just heard. That song was by Gang of Four. It was called Anthrax. And if you pay attention to this sort of thing, you probably are already aware that Andy Gill, the guitarist for Gang of Four, died a couple of days ago. So that was fun. That was a cool fun thing to learn a few days ago. It's always done. You know, there's the whole thing where on Twitter where it's like you see somebody's name is trending and it's like, oh my God, are they dead? Like, it literally anytime somebody famous shows up on the trending topics, if you click on them, like the first post will be, if they're not dead, the first post will be like, oh man, I was worried that Ron Jeremy or whoever had died. And then there'll be like a gif of somebody expressing relief. And it's like, okay, well, Ron Jeremy's not dead, everybody. Don't worry. And prior to that was Whitney and Carl for Rosa. I guess I should tell you what, we're actually basing the show on tonight. So basically, we've got a group of cards. Moira is back in the picture this week because, you know, she comes, she goes, she's unreliable, but so am I, so I make allowances for that. This week's cards are the Hierophant. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. Moira wasn't sure I'm pronouncing either. And the Knight of Swords and the Empress. And those, specifically, the last track was the Knight of Swords is like represents like overwhelming ambition, like almost reckless ambition. So there's gonna be a running theme for a lot of this the next couple of parts of the show where the show right coming up is gonna be a lot of songs that are that are to me bands at like maybe their most, if not their most ambitious, then certainly somewhere close to that. And in some cases it's going to be bands where that what they're doing is almost too ambitious in the sense that they were never really to scale those lofty heights again. So that's where that was going. And with regard to the Whitney and Carl song earlier, that was a little bit more of a stretch. Although normally I would say I don't make the rules, but I do make the rules. So it's up to me to decide whether or not I've broken them. And I don't feel like I broke it in that case. But the Empress is symbolizes motherhood, fertility, nature, things of that sort. And so I thought the Whitney and Carl song is just a really nice song. A nice way to start the show, I think. Anyway, that's from the album We Will Always Be. And Anthrax by Gang of Four is, of course, off of their album Entertainment. So we're going to get back to some music now. You can listen on your computer, of course. But if you don't feel like listening on your computer, you can also download the Radio Free Brooklyn mobile app for iPhone and Android, and you can get that in the App Store, that's for iPhone, or the Google Play Store, that's for Android. So again, we're continuing with the theme of ambition, and for me, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of times I have a very limited idea of what constitutes ambition. In this particular case, in some of the cases you're gonna get, a lot of times it's just like, wow, this song is like really long and it has multiple parts to it. It's like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna play that My Chemical Romance song, but that to me, like, I heard that song Welcome to the Black Parade and I was like, wow, what an ambitious song. I'm not gonna play that song tonight, so I'm sorry. I apologize if you're a big MCR fan and you wanted to hear Welcome to the Black Parade tonight, but I'm pretty sure if you want to hear Welcome to the Black Parade, there are no shortage of ways in which you could potentially hear it. Anyway, this next song is called Your Cover's Blown.
So how do we know each other? And how do you have my number? Well, why don't you guide me? You be the driver.
Say what you want and leave your shadow. out on someone's borrowed mini. Take her to dinner, use her boyfriend's money. Hey lady, put the phone down. Cancel all operations. Tell your friends to cool it. Your cover's blown. I wanna see you alone. Cancel all operations. Tell your friends to cool it. Your cover's blown. Planning a break is such a tricky thing. You move to the country, she comes back again. And then you move to the city, but she goes abroad. Is she telling you something? Is she getting bold? I make a rough plan to sleep around the middle of the rut. I need a change, I'm a lazy rat. My bold change of tack will fit out with the summer. I've got no appetite and all the girls are bummers. My baby doesn't look at me the way I want her to look. She doesn't comprehend. My baby's got it going on. She's got a friend in every street in this town. Want to go out, but there's nobody home. I'll go on my own.
Thank you. Yeah. And there and then, and bathed by the rising sun, my son in his grave, in his rude dark grave I deposited, ending my vigil strange with that, vigil of night and battlefield dim, vigil for boy of responding kisses, never again on earth responding, vigil for comrade swiftly slain, vigil I never forget, how as day brightened, I rose from the chill ground and folded my soldier well in his blanket and buried him where he fell.
You know, it's funny, I made a conscious effort before this show, and I'm not saying it's an effort for me not to do this, but an effort is a strong word. I made a conscious decision before this show. I was like, you know what I'm not going to do before this show that I do before just about every show, because my show is on at 1 a.m. Not that I'm complaining about my time slot, I'm just saying the show's on at 1 a.m. I need to fill the hours between when I'm done working and when I come here. I need to do that somehow. So I made the decision. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to drink before the show. And that was a mistake. If you're familiar with the Jesus Lizard, you're probably familiar with their frontman, David Yao, and he has a reputation for going nuts at live shows, like jumping into the crowd and whatnot. And I remember reading an interview with him one time where he basically said that he tried to go on stage sober one time and that it was terrible. For all I know, the show was fine. He's maybe being self-critical. I find it hard to believe that at the very least it wasn't fine musically, because the members of the Jesus Lizard the musicians are all fantastic. But he was like, I was inhibited and I couldn't do what I normally do at a show. I'm not saying that I am like the radio equivalent of David Yao, but if you've been listening for this whole show, you've noticed that I keep fucking up. And I'm always going to fuck up a little bit, but I feel like I'm not saying that I'm fucking up more because I haven't been drinking, but I'm not saying I'm not not fucking up more because I'm not saying I'm fucking up more because I'm drinking, but I'm not saying I'm not fucking up because I haven't been drinking. I mean, I am drinking now, but I wasn't drinking before the show, and that's the thing. Like, the point here is that every single thing that has gone wrong with the show has been my fault. I can't blame any technical difficulties this time around. And normally, honestly, generally speaking, if I blame technical difficulties for something, it's I'm just covering. It's usually my fault. But lesson learned, next week, I will be absolutely drunk before I go on the air. That's the Hanged Man guarantee. Anyway, have you ever done something finished a task and you set yourself a really outlandish goal and you really succeeded beyond your wildest expectations? It is a spectacularly great thing that you did, and then it was so good that everything else you ever did paled in comparison, and it was kind of just unbelievably, everything else you did was just a complete disappointment. If that's the case, you might be a member of Titus Andronicus, who performed that last song. That song is called A Pot in which to Piss, which is the grammatically correct version of the expression A Pot to Piss In. That is off of their album The Monitor, which was an extremely good album that they never really managed to even come close even a little bit to topping. But that's okay, because how many bands even have one really good album when you get right down to it? Titus Andronicus has one really good album, The Monitor, and then, you know, a pretty good one, The Aryan Grievances. Those are two good albums. A lot of bands don't even have one good album. A lot of bands don't even have one good song. So I'm not trying to talk smack about Titus Andronicus here. I'm just saying they had their moment in the sun. They had their sublime, reckless ambition, and they made the most of it, in my opinion. Sort of like the previous band, the Blood Brothers, also another band that kind of... Ambulance vs. Ambulance was the name of that song, and I have in the past referred to it, and I will die on this hill, so don't fight me, or do fight me if you want to lose. I've referred to that song as the Fascination Street of post-hardcore, and if you're wondering, you might be thinking, there are a couple of things you might be thinking. You could be like, oh, what's Fascination Street? Or you could be like, how dare you sully the name of The Cure's greatest song by comparing it to some screamo band? Those are both valid responses. You could also be like, yeah, Hector, you're totally right. I agree with you. Ambulance vs. Ambulance is the Fascination Street of post-hardcore. Anyway, the last one is the objectively correct one, by the way. I'll also accept what's Fascination Street. But yeah, so, but then the, again, Blood Brothers, they put out the album Burn Piano Island Burn. In my opinion, kind of a high watermark from the post-hardcore screamo genre of music. And then they really didn't do much else. I mean, they put out like two more albums, I think. Neither one of them was especially good. Sometimes you got like, you have like a, you know, you have that burst of like, again, that burst of reckless ambition, that burst of crazy like inspiration, and then it just goes away. I've never had one of those, so I wouldn't know what that's like, but it does happen, I'm sure. Let's see, before that was Husker Du. Another one where it's just kind of like, you know, the there's that running theme of like bands that who had this like insane, like reckless, ambitious vision and brought it to fruition. In their case, I don't think they fell off, unlike the previous two bands that I mentioned. Zen Arcade is one of my favorite albums of all time. Maybe my favorite album of all time, in case you were wondering. Because you were like, you know, hey, I wonder what this guy listens to when he's not on the radio. Zen Arcade is a solid choice. There's a non-zero chance that I'm listening to Zen Arcade at any moment of the day. That's the Hanged Man guarantee. Anyway, Radio Free Brooklyn's Drive to 5 fundraising campaign is underway. In May, RFB turns 5 years old, and we need to raise $25,000 so we can continue bringing you commercial-free, independent radio for another 5 years. Because we think raising money should be fun, each month we'll be bringing listeners fun challenges with some great prizes. This month's challenge is a quiz to find out just how well you know the neighborhood that Radio Free Brooklyn calls home. That's right, Bushwick, Brooklyn. The top 5 scorers will win a limited edition 5-year anniversary RFB t-shirt. If you feel like it, I'm not saying you should do this, but if you want to, you could enter The Hanged Man as your favorite show when you take the quiz, and who knows, maybe I'll get a prize as well. Take the quiz, make a donation, find out more. You can do all of those things at radiofreebrooklyn.org/drive-to-5. And I've mentioned this before on the show, but there's some really good premiums you can get by downloading, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with me? By donating to Radio Free Brooklyn. There's the regular old RFB shirt, which is pretty snazzy. There's the limited edition 5-year shirts, the aforementioned 5-year shirts that you can get with a $50 donation, including one by Cosmo Vinyl, who is best known as the manager of The Clash, or he was the manager of The Clash. The Clash is not a band anymore. I've mentioned this before, but you could go all out and be like, you know what, I want to hire a Radio Free Brooklyn DJ to perform at my party. And that's for a $500 monthly pledge or a $2,500 one-time donation within 10 miles of New York City. So you're really getting your money's worth here, I think. So, let's see. I think I've told you most of what you need to know. You should also subscribe, please. Be sure to subscribe to our monthly newsletter for the latest news about new programming and upcoming RFB events. You can sign up at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. You are listening to The Hanged Man on radiofreebrooklyn.com. And as always, I've got very little time left to do what I'm trying to do here. I'm still kind of stuck, and there's no way I'm not going to play this next song. So I'm sticking with the whole the Knight of Swords and his ambition, because that was the part of the reading that really keyed into, to be honest with you. Sometimes every once in a while, the different weeks, different things happen with me in terms of like, you know, the whole thing's obviously subjective, but different weeks, different things happen to me in terms of like how I relate to the reading. And this week I really keyed in on the idea of ambition and thinking about all the artists who I love, who, you know, the reason I love them is because they're so restless and ambitious and creative, which, I mean, obviously that's not unique to me, obviously. But so if you watched the large game on Sunday, I'm a football fan. Sorry, that's my shameful admission for the night. Although there might be another one later, we'll see. But there's a, if you go to theringer.com, there's a really good oral history of Prince's halftime show from several years ago. There are so many amazing parts of this that it's hard to pick just one. But for my money, the best part of the oral history of Prince's halftime show, and you might remember if you watched it or if you just have heard about it through, you know, the oral tradition that our society prizes, it started raining like crazy. And so basically he performed this halftime show in there, this 12-minute halftime show in the rain. And while I was watching, I remember thinking he's either going to get electrocuted or he's going to slip and fall and like break his hip or something. And, at one point before the show, to me, the best part of this oral history, and you should read it, if you want to, it's free. So it's not like a call to action. It's on theringer.com. You can search for it. But, to me, the best part of it is, it's right before the halftime show is supposed to start, and they're like freaking out, and they're like, you know, trying to get a hold of Prince, and they're like on the walkie talkies or whatever, and be like, where's Prince? Is he okay? What's going on? And then they finally hear back from somebody, and they just go, he wants to know if you can make it rain harder. So that's, I don't know. I find that endearing, in like the standard, slightly endearing, megalomaniacal Prince way. So anyway, this one's for you, Prince. The song is called The Cross, and it's by you.
Black day, stormy night, no love, no hope in sight. Don't cry, he is coming. Don't die without knowing the cross. Ghettos to the left of us, flowers to the right. There'll be bread for all of us if we can just bear the cross.
Thank you. Sakura.
That's right, listener. You have learned my darkest secret. I am a closet of Montreal fan. That song is called A Sense of Sorts in Kongsvinger, and it's from the album Hissing Fauna, Are You the Destroyer? So, as often happens on the show, I let things kind of get away from me, and I'm almost done. So, basically, half of the songs and half of the stuff I wanted to say on the show regarding, you know, the actual, you know, underpinnings of everything that I'm playing is just kind of lost to the mists of time. I should probably, like, have, like, a Tumblr or something where I, like, actually explain the rationale behind playing all these songs, but that sounds way too much like work to me, so I'm probably not going to do that. Anyway, we're almost done here, but I will be here next week, of course, and I hope you, if you're listening, I hope you enjoyed it, and if you're not listening, I hope you enjoyed that too. I just want you all to be happy. Until next week, have a good night. This song is called Isolei.
Come on.